League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Discuss, challenge, inform, comment, viewpoint on Talk Radio Europe.
Giles Brown.
Live comment and discussion with studio guests.
Viewpoint.
Yes, indeed. We're back with Viewpoint, Talk Radio Europe's current affairs program. We discuss the issues of the day with a panel of invited guests, some would say experts. Joining me in the studio today are Nathan Thomas, Alf Brewer, and Alistair Lee. 952-784-4000 is the phone number. Studio at talkradioeurope.com is the email, and the Facebook page is Talk Radio Europe Official. We Twitter, we are at TRE Talk is Good. Quick update, Stephen Ritson will be joining us on Europe Today in a change from the change of programming. So Stephen has let me know that he is indeed fine and well and fit and dandy and will be joining us with a viewpoint at 12, not viewpoint, Europe Today, excuse me, at 12 o'clock. Now, 952-784-4000, as I said, is the phone number. Also over the weekend, there have been splits, cracks, call it what you will. The infighting with the Conservative Party seems to be continuing with wicked leaks coming out. The Chancellor's taking a swipe at opponents in the cabinet. Conflicts at the heart of government have erupted into the open as Chancellor Philip Hammond has hit back at cabinet colleagues for attempting, he says, to undermine him. He's condemned fellow ministers who claimed were critics of his Brexit strategy after he reportedly dismissed public sector workers as overpaid. He also allegedly made comments about with female train drivers. And it seems to see that as many as the Sunday Times has said that as many as five ministers have endorsed this story. Answering his critics, the Chancellor urged his colleagues to focus on the job in hand and told Andrew Marr on the BBC yesterday that some of the noise is generated by people who are not happy with the agenda which I, over the last few weeks, have tried to advance. Infighting in the Conservatives. Who would have thought it, Nathan?
Well, what a difference a year makes. I mean, last year it was the Labour Party that everybody said was in total chaos. It would take them forever to recover if they ever did recover, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And here we are with the Conservative Party now seemingly in more chaos than anyone could ever have imagined. It's almost like there is not one government anymore. There are a whole bunch of small governments. I mean, Boris has his version. Hammond has his version. Theresa May has her version. And everybody else is kind of siding with somebody or other rather than having the government being the government and basically having a government viewpoint. It is chaos.
Chaos. Alf, your thoughts on the Conservative... yes, I thought that was...
Well, it's always funny because it takes the spotlight off the Labour Party. And I go...
We will come back to them in due course.
No, you can't. Because they're part of what's going on with the Tories as well, because they're in there poking them. We'll have a divide, we'll have a split in the cabinet, and they're in there. You know, they're like Rottweilers going at it and adding to the fuel and... It wouldn't surprise me if some of them had been doing the leaks, to be honest, and good on them. And the Labour Party, to be honest, we might have recovered our poise, but we haven't recovered our political sense and direction and where we're going. You know, we moved a little bit further on than we did when Gordon Brown lost the election, so they're still not electable, and so it goes on. And the Tories still know that, which is why... You know, all these aspirational people, Boris Johnson will make me smile because having sort of pushed himself forward and then falling out, he's then going to push himself forward again to be the new Prime Minister. Now, what he wants is 350 Tory MPs to say, Boris, come and dig us out of this mess. And I think he's going to wait a long time before that call happens. And the Philip Hammond thing is that here's a man, you know, I don't like any of the Tories, but sometimes if you set aside your party political stuff and look at people doing a job, and you seriously have to go, this is a guy who's absolutely dogmatic about what he's doing. He's got his plan and he's going to stick to his plan and he's going to pull everybody in, including Theresa May. You know, don't you vary. It's a little bit like what it was Gordon Brown and Tony Blair, where Gordon Brown, you know, and the Treasury would often pull back ministers, even though Blair might have given them the nod and a wink, yeah, you do this in your ministry, education or health or where, and then all of a sudden they were pulled back by the Treasury and Ed Balls and people like that. Yeah, you had to see how it was worked, and they become the detested people. But Philip Hammond, I won't steal Alistair's thunder, but he is the person who looks like he knows what he's doing. You may not agree with him, but he knows what he's doing. He's got a plan, and he's going to follow his plan, and he's going to drag everybody in. And all this backbiting stuff, that will carry on anyway. That will carry on until Theresa May goes, because everybody knows she's going to go. She ain't going to survive.
I mean, there have been talks that Theresa May's husband has been urging her to step down. One senior Tory minister said, "It's time for people to stop playing stupid games." Alistair.
May won't last very long at all. I said just a few weeks ago she'll be gone within 8 weeks. Possibly now a little bit longer, but not long at all. Her whole cabinet is doing virtually nothing but plotting her downfall. Virtually openly. She can't control them. Each of them are going off-piste whenever they want. She's weak. She's ineffective. She managed to last as foreign secretary for years and years and years by doing absolutely nothing. She conveniently said that she couldn't. Her hands are tied. She has to do as she's instructed by the EU. So she got away with hiding under the sofa and behind the curtains in that role because she could blame others. Then, she was appointed as Conservative leader. She's now called in Cameron for advice. I mean, it's quite pathetic, isn't it? She's asked Jeremy Corbyn if he can come and get involved in Brexit negotiations and help her. It's ridiculous. She won't last. She should go. Sooner the better, as far as I'm concerned.
I mean, it looks at the moment as if...
She wasn't appointed. She was last person standing.
Yeah, exactly.
No one voted for her.
No.
So she's got no standing whatsoever in anything, including Parliament.
Correct. And the only thing she has been elected for, she lost virtually.
Yeah, well, gave away.
I mean, the people always go, "Oh, well, it's going to be Boris." But according to the Sunday Times, David Davis is being backed by more than 30 MPs to become leader. Because of his stance on Brexit as well, even though Damien Green, the first Secretary of State and effective Deputy Prime Minister at the moment, has said now is not the time. There are a lot of various things going on in the world, and now is absolutely not the time to get involved in leadership.
David Davis is Ian Duncan Smith with a smile.
Yeah, I completely disagree with that guy. Now is the time. Now is the time for firm action. Get rid of her. She's weak. She's proven to be a useless leader. Get the knives out, get rid of her.
Well, why don't you say what you mean?
Exactly. In the meantime, a former, we're talking about current prime ministers, a former prime minister, Tony Blair, was vocal this weekend in his support for Jeremy Corbyn. He said he was wrong about Corbyn becoming prime minister, Blair said. In an interview, he said that it was impossible for Mr. Corbyn to emulate his electoral success with a hard left policy. You have to say, but after the unexpected gains, I think we might agree that Labour had at the recent general election, but Tony Blair said that he changed his mind. You have to say, in today's world now, there have been so many political upsets, it's possible Jeremy Corbyn could become Prime Minister and Labour could win on a hard left programme. Alf, you're smiling serenely there.
Don't convert Tony Blair saying Mr. Corbyn, by the way, not Jeremy, Mr. Corbyn could become Prime Minister, with Tony Blair saying, and I fully, wholeheartedly support him. That's not what he's saying. What he's saying is, given the circumstances that we find ourselves in, there's every chance that Mr. Corbyn could become the Prime Minister. And my take on that is Theresa May at some garden party, was it yesterday or today or wherever it is, telling all her MPs off saying, you be warned, because it might not be Davis, it might not be Johnson, it might not be whoever it is, Hammond. It could well end up being Jeremy Corbyn. Now, who frightens the British public more? Tony Blair saying that Corbyn could be the Prime Minister, or Theresa May saying that Corbyn could be the Prime Minister? Because I know from my colleagues and friends in the Labour Party, and some of us, I was never a Tony Blair supporter, but you had to give him, you know, lots of praise for what he did.
His
charisma.
She's completely wrong, isn't she? Because as soon as she has been got rid of, which will happen,
the tide will change.
The replacement has got virtually 5 years. So yeah. She's wrong on that.
Let's face it, Theresa may not. Is that, what was that newspaper? May not. May not. And it's just so the Tony Blair thing is he's said three things now, I think, in the last 4 months, and they're all, to me, they're like spoiling tactics. If you want something not to happen, wheel out Tony Blair and say this, Tony, and everybody will go, oh, we ain't doing that because Blair said it. Yeah, I have a lot of time for that guy, seriously, politically, and what he did for, you know, continuing the transformation of the Labour Party. But he is right. Given the circumstances of today, with May having no standing whatsoever in any... You know, even Joe Public wander the streets going, Theresa May, she's a waste of space. Not many people go around saying that, but openly. So she's got no... And Corbyn didn't do as bad, and it wasn't him. Well, no, he as an individual actually did a lot better than what people gave him credit for. And the Labour Party did a lot better than what people thought they would do. So given those circumstances and the balance goes, if the Tories are still on decline, which they could well be the way this leadership's going, which is why Alistair's right, the sooner she goes, the better, because you could get somebody else in, and it's somebody else to pick up on. And new leaders are always given... You know, like a honeymoon period to establish themselves, to say this is what I'm about. So 6-9 months, something like that, before any real criticism comes. But I just go in all politics now. You go who are the standing leading lights of British politics today? And all you can talk about is one or two people who are vociferous. They're not necessarily good politicians. They're just good at spouting is what I'd say. You know, the SNP leader, she's tremendous, you know, on the television, but her policies stink. It's this whole gambit of, you know, and I just go to people, it was the problem the Labour Party had when Corbyn became leader. Who is there to choose from? Who is the outstanding, the leadership light that's coming through?
Well, the shining light of Labour is Abbott, isn't it?
let's just say, while laugh dissolves there, let's just see what Tony Blair said. He said he felt sorry for Theresa May. I know what it's like to do the job, and I think it's a very unsatisfactory situation. Thank you. When you've got the Prime Minister surrounded by people who are just waiting for the moment they decide to throw her off the ledge, I think there's something a little bit unseemly about all of it, really. And I do feel sorry for him. I think she is somebody who has got the best interests of the country at heart. It's just that I profoundly disagree with her about Brexit. I would just like to see more leadership and less followership.
Yeah.
Do you think there's a case of followership and not so much leadership at the moment?
Very much so. I mean, imagine the Prime Minister asking the leader of the opposition to come in and help with negotiations. Imagine a Prime Minister, a standing Prime Minister, asking the old Prime Minister to come in for a cup of tea and help me, please, because my whole cabinet is rebelling against me. She is a follower.
That was called the Second World War.
Yeah.
When that happened last.
Well, when that happened, perhaps we were in the...
We were at bloody war.
According to Cameron, if we left the EU, there was a strong chance of World War III.
Well, Jeremy Corbyn...
But he said he didn't mean that, but not afterwards.
The problem, I think, with the Conservatives is, like you said, get rid of her and somebody else be in charge, but are they just going to replace one person that many of them don't like with somebody else. I mean, there seems to be so much dissension. I mean, you can go down the list of possible candidates. Each of them has built their own constituency with their own views, which they have made very, very public at this point. And all right, if there was a battle, one of them would get in. But is that going to stop the rest of them? And are they going to then fall in line behind this person and have a, you know, solidified government point of view on so many things that right now the government doesn't seem to have? It seems to have 8 points of view on most any topic.
And one of the things that I see missing from, certainly from the Tory party at the moment, because everybody looks at the leadership, but, you know, the people that make the leadership are the kingmakers. It's the kingmakers that are, and I don't see them with a kingmaker. There was a leader of a London borough, and they were moving on to something else, so there was a vacancy. And it was a similar situation. There was like 5 people all vying to be the leader of a big London council with big responsibilities. And I just went round each group and said, well, look, I know he's your favourite, but who's your second favourite? And I got all 5 groups to agree on their second favourite, knowing full well that when it came to the election, none of the 5 would win, and the second favourite would win on the second vote. And he's one of the longest-serving leaders of a London borough. But I don't see that happening in British politics at national level at the moment. I don't see the Labour Party, because they've got Corbyn, but, you know, Momentum are doing their rubbish for a conference. They're going to try and change the rules so that eventually the trots will get rid of Corbyn and put in, you know, the geezer with the white hair, who I can't stand even saying his name, McDonald, L. McDonald at a farm. It's not E-I-E-I-O. And I can't see it in the Tories either, because, I mean, Hammond is making his complaints, but that's because 4 other people, you know, want to be Prime Minister and not him. So he's obviously the leading light. He's obviously the one in the party who's now coming to the fore as being the next leader.
Hammond blew it last week when he said even women can drive a train, and various other politically incorrect statements, which he's got crucified for.
That's never going to stop the Tory party.
Oh.
Making him a leader. Christ almighty, come on. Over all the period of time, you cannot say that a Tory member...
He certainly wouldn't have appealed to the Labour lot when he said that public sector workers were overpaid.
Well, of course he's going to say that. And I seriously don't know a leader of in recent history. I don't know a Prime Minister that's not said that. Even Blair. Okay, because there is an element of public sector being overpaid. If you're trying to drive down your, if you want to stop the public sector from going over the top, you have to suppress the private sector. Doesn't mean they're right, but I don't remember a leader not saying that.
And we've got a caller on the line. Good morning, caller. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
I'm very happy, Kate. To thoroughly support Alf on one occasion anyway, which is his interjection just then. You know, you're not going to say that the Tory party are not going to agree with someone saying, you know, even women could drive a train. And we all know what he meant. In the political correctness, it's, you know, absolutely rubbish. It's no offensive. Any female who took offence at that particular remark would be over-doctrinaire. And it's not the kind of thing that would offend the Conservative Party.
However, what did he mean by saying that even a woman could drive a train?
Well, by and large, it's little boys who want to drive trains and little girls that want to be fashion models or whatever, you know. Just talking generally, it's not an offensive statement. And it's not one that's going to offend the Tory party. So QED, Alf is dead right one point. Secondly, and what I've been reading over the weekend is a vast, amazing range of agreement by political correspondents that the Brexit discussions are going for craziness. And that there is either going to be a new general election, and which the most likely leader is going to be Corbyn, winner is going to be Corbyn, or there'll be a second referendum, which seems to me, the second point, absolutely fair, because there is a lot of evidence that people have changed in their view as more and more information has come out about the results of out. Okay.
Thank you very much for your call in there, Kay. Alistair, you're nodding your head.
Yeah, I think I think she might be right. I think the strategy and the plan from the Federalists is to head towards a second referendum. The way you'll get there is after we voted to leave the EU, is you rebrand that Brexit. After you've rebranded leaving the EU Brexit, you ask, what does Brexit mean? After you've asked, what does Brexit mean, you come up with two phrases, hard Brexit and soft Brexit. Then you say nobody voted for soft or hard Brexit. And then you have another referendum as to whether we should leave the EU. And essentially, that's the strategy that they've gone down.
And what happens when the second referendum gets 72% of the British public saying leave Europe?
That won't be good enough. Then you'll have to have another one. And what the EU managed to force is they asked the Irish three times to vote until the Irish got the answer right.
Oh, they did the same with Denmark. They've done the same with Belgium. They've done the same with... They will carry on.
It's the way most unelected federal regimes work. They continue to ask the question.
You honestly believe that the British Parliament are going to take any notice whatsoever of some brainwave out of Europe saying, I think you should have another referendum? Do you honestly believe that the British Parliament can be swayed by that? I don't think so.
Got an email in here from Peter saying there's been a lot of comments in this morning about what will happen to EU citizens. There's been no mention that the UK has published a policy document dismissing a lot of things said, for example, the 84-page form. If you go onto gov.uk, you'll find the document that went through about reciprocal agreements, etc. I've had a look at it myself. 952-784-4000 is the phone number. studio@talkradioeurope.com is the email, and the Facebook page is Talk Radio Europe Official.
TRE. Talk Radio Europe. Viewpoint with Giles Brown.
Listening to Viewpoint, 952-784-4000 is the phone number. studio@talkradioeurope.com is the email, the Facebook page, Talk Radio Europe Official. We Twitter, we tweet, we are at TRE. Talk is good. Love to hear your comments. Into the last half hour of Viewpoint, absolutely flown this morning, as it always does when I'm joined by Nathan Thomas, Alf Brewer and Alistair Lee. We're going to go across the pond now, because President Trump spoke to embattled British Prime Minister Theresa May, and basically I think he said he wasn't going to come over to the UK until he got better press. Is that a fair is that a fair summary of it, Nathan?
Yeah, that's about what he reportedly said. He from what we have heard, told Theresa May he wasn't at all happy with the media coverage that he's getting in the UK, and it doesn't sound like people love him the way they should, and she should do something about that. And until she does do something about that, he doesn't think he's going to come visit. Now, I don't know whether that is something that would actually make her want to do something about his image or not. I have a feeling that an awful lot of people in the UK would be quite happy if Donald Trump didn't come, because for any number of reasons. But, you know, that's what he said. He's realized that he is not popular there. Now, why he thinks she can control the media in the UK any better than he can control the media in the US, much as he tries, I don't know. But his bottom line seems to be, until everybody loves me there and I'm going to get a wonderful warm welcome as I ride that coach down the mall, I'm not coming.
Well, I mean, apparently Theresa May reportedly sort of raised an eyebrow and said, well, you know what the British press are like.
Well, yes, what she's supposed to do. I mean, she doesn't control the press. Everybody knows that. And like I say, I don't know whether Theresa May really cares whether Donald Trump shows up or not. It's going to be, you know, a very controversial visit if it happens, especially soon. I mean, again, if you go down far enough, who knows what situations will be. But were he to come now, it would be you know, again, one more type of chaos as you have people protesting and everything else, while those are those who are trying to welcome him and make it a nice state visit or whatever it is. So no, I think he's kind of broken it off and probably isn't going to happen.
Let's call the whole thing off. Yeah. Theresa May must have enough on her plate as it stands at the moment with having President Trump coming over. Alistair?
Well, maybe Trump's being quite smart and he's waiting for May to be assassinated by her own party before he comes over. Certainly what I would do. I mean, it'd be a bit embarrassing to come over, be welcomed by May, and then a month later she's knifed in the back. So perhaps he's being subtle in his delay.
I still think the main reason Donald Trump wants to come to the UK and has said this from the beginning and jumped on the invitation immediately, he wants to ride down the Mall in the Golden Coach with the Queen. That's what he wants. I don't think he really cares who is in political power. He just wants the pomp and ceremony that the British do so well, because this is what Donald Trump loves. And, I mean, I think that's the reason for coming, and it's finally...
I agree, but he would perhaps prefer it to be with the Prime Minister who is going to be around for the next few years.
I don't think he cares. What he's worried about is the Queen not being around for years and years and years, he doesn't want to miss that ride.
Whimsical thing about Theresa May is only going to last another month. It was two months ago. Yeah, who knows how long she's going to last? But I do agree with the assessment that why would Trump want to come? And Nathan's right. He wouldn't come to meet Theresa May or anybody else because he knows there. It is about meeting the Queen. It is about being regarded
ceremony.
In the royal. He certainly doesn't need to come to the UK to experience the hatred that he would experience. But if he's in a Queen's carriage going down the Mall, you're not going to have 4 million people anywhere near him abusing him because they wouldn't be allowed.
Anyway, let's go to the phones, shall we? Good morning, caller. You're live on TRE.
Good morning. I'm enjoying your programme. It's Carol from the Costa Blanca.
Good morning, Carol.
And I totally agree with Nathan. Trump is a showman. And he would just love... He would even like to be wearing, as he's driving with the Queen down the Mall, an ermine robe.
Can I borrow a crown, please?
Yes, indeed. I'm sure it's got nothing to do with politics. He doesn't care whether Theresa May's in office or whoever's in office. He really doesn't give a damn. He is a showman, and that's what he is.
Thank you for your call there, Carol.
Bye-bye.
Of course, I mean, President Trump also set tongues are wagging, heads are shaking as he met President Macron and Madame Macron over the weekend with comments about her figure. Really beautiful. You look great in great shape. Can you imagine him saying the same?
Physical shape. Not just any old shape. Great physical shape.
Right.
Go, what was all that about?
It's about being Donald Trump.
In front of his missus.
It was his mother, wasn't it?
Do you think that perhaps...
Was his mother what?
Macron's mother.
No,
it was his wife.
The first lady of...
The youngest lady.
If you did that in front of the Queen, I think that Prince Philip might just probably beat you over the head with a stick.
If you could. But no, if you could stand up without him.
No. Nathan, what else has been happening apart from that with Donald? That we have the ongoing situation with the Russian and his family.
Well, this is overpowering everything in the States as far as news coverage, and Donald Trump with his two European trips in a very short time, was hoping for some very good coverage and, you know, somebody, and this was the high point, his speech in Poland, where somebody said, well, he did act very statesmanlike. Well, that's kind of the high point of the whole thing, and that's about all that's said, because concentration still is so much on this, the Russian messing around with the elections, and the statements or the release of emails by his son that, well, yes, he met this Russian, and now we've learned there was another Russian, I'm not sure what you call him, lobbyist at least, who was connected to the government at one time. in that meeting that everybody forgot to tell us about. That has so overshadowed anything that that came out of the European meetings, and Trump is apparently very frustrated with this, and understandably so, because he has this agenda that he wants, and he's getting absolutely nowhere with it. The healthcare reform bill that keeps lumbering through Congress now has been stalled again because the vote, they're afraid, is so close that John McCain, a serious Republican, had surgery over the weekend, so he's not going to be there in Congress for a while. He's hospitalized or recovering. So they've had to postpone the whole thing because they are so afraid that they will lose the vote.
We've got a caller on the line. Thank you for holding, caller. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Good morning. It's Janet from Mallorca.
Good morning.
I think his remark to President Macron's wife was especially degrading because he does know the difference in age. She is about 20 years older than him, isn't she? Something like that. And so to say, oh, you're in good shape, you know, sort of, excuse me, who the hell do you think you are?
Yes. You know?
She thinks he's Donald Trump, that's it.
Yeah, she used to be Macron's school teacher, didn't she?
Yes,
yeah.
Yes.
And she's about 25 years older than him?
Yes, I think it's, yeah, something like that, 25 and 26, I'm not sure. I mean, he's totally in love with her. They are very much in love. But how can you have this idiot man who's running a country as if it was a reality show saying, hey, you're in good shape for your age, without actually saying it? It's so, so insulting. I'm sorry. It's just the man himself. It's just a one big insult to the world. I'm sorry.
Of course, all over the social media, when they put that little bubble cartoon space for you to fill in the blanks as to what he was really saying,
yeah.
It was on social media, it was mainly saying, ah, is this your mother?
Yeah.
Etc.
Yeah, awful, isn't it? Sorry.
Awful. Oh, terrible.
Janet,
it makes my stomach churn. Sorry. Have a wonderful day.
Thank you very much. We're trying to make your stomach churn here on TRE. 952-78-4000. Another caller on the line. Good morning, caller. Thank you for holding you live on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Kate Costabranca.
Yes, Kate.
I never believed I would do this. May I defend Trump? I think he was, in his terms, being a gentleman and saying, hey, you're looking great.
So in his terminology, hey, you're looking great, yeah?
Yeah, I think that was his intention.
I think you're 100% right. I agree. The problem is Donald Trump's idea of the proper thing to do and say so often is 180 degrees from everyone else that it does create a problem.
As you said earlier, you know, he was sounding like Trump.
Yeah, exactly.
No big deal. If I had been the lady, I would have taken it as a Trump compliment.
Well, exactly, and a lot of people are. And again, we are in the media world where everything that anyone does, and Trump is a wonderful target, of course, because he is so extreme, everybody has to analyze everything else. Yes, I mean, in most cases, that would just go on and, well, okay, he said something stupid, but he does that all the time.
But to be fair, the First Lady of France, Madame Macron, she did look quite stunning in her little Barbie doll dress. And, you know, especially for her age. Let's be honest, she's, what, 64, 65?
No idea.
And she looked stunning.
Right there.
That then says, well, it was okay as well for that Tory MP to use the M word. And you go, listen, ever since I was a kid, we were taught not to use that, and it's racist. And we've got somebody who's an MP who sits in the House of Commons who makes decisions. And by the way, lots and lots of Tories use the word, and they shouldn't do. They're the ones who have been... 10 Tory MPs have been castigated.
10 little Tories.
10 little Tories, yeah. Don't you dare. But seriously, that says, oh, well, she didn't really mean it like that. I don't care. They should be educated away from that. Trump's been around on the planet long enough to know that you don't say things like that in public to a woman.
But Trump knows that you can, and he does say things like that
absolutely.
To women, to anybody else. He says exactly what he wants to say at the moment, and he's been getting away with it for years. Why would he think of changing?
And we've got a caller on the line. Good morning, caller. You're live on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Morning, Charles. Peter.
Good morning, Peter.
You was expecting this one, weren't you?
I wasn't, but anyway, please.
I'm glad you kept me hanging on there, because I can pull Alf up there for, you know, I'm not a politically correct person. I think you can say what you want. It's a free world. But I did have to put him up once because he called Indigenous Americans Red Indians.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't be too hard on Mr. Trump there, Alf.
I didn't call them Red Indians.
To be educated.
Call them Red Indians. I didn't call them Red Indians.
We'll end it there anyway, you did.
In a degrading manner. I was using it as an
regardless,
example.
Regardless, you should be educated enough to know that they're
am,
not red and they're not Indians.
Okay.
So there you go.
Right.
Anyway, this again is Trump bashing all the time. And I mentioned Snopes last week, and I read an article this week, fact-checking, and they covered four things: international embarrassment, Trump tyrant, and bully baby and a buffoon. And they covered it through the press, and all of it is unproven. It's the press giving him bad press.
Peter, just go back on that one. No. Just say what. Just so you've been going on a website that says that what that those words come up when dealing with Trump. Is that correct?
Say again, sorry.
No, you said bully baby, Trump tyrant. That is, are those the words? I don't understand. Is those words that come up?
They covered because that's what Trump gets labelled as.
Right.
An international embarrassment. He's a tyrant, and he's a bully baby, and he's a buffoon. So they ran the stories and they went through everything and none of it could be proven. And actually they disproved everything. And then some of the stories out there are completely false and run by the mainstream media. Now, again, Nathan's going to have his little thing about the mainstream. No one runs the media. Just recently, a group called Special Broadcast Group, which are a media company. Now, most Americans get their information from their local TV, and most people do. I know in the UK and Spain, most people listen to their local broadcast, same as they listen to your local station. That's where they get news from, and any big major news breaks through that. Now, Special Broadcast Group have just bought out Tribune Media for $4 billion. They now own 233 local stations. Consider there's only 52 states, that's quite a lot. Now, what they have is must-runs. So they then say to those broadcasting people, you must go with this story, regardless of whether they want to or not. So that's how the media works. And at the same time, while they're bashing Trump like this, you mentioned the family with the emails. That Russian lawyer came into America without a visa, okayed by Loretta Lynch underneath the Obama administration to represent a client who was having their assets frozen and seized by the federal government. That's why she came in and had a meeting with Trump. She said that she had some dirt on Hillary. That's called back channeling. That's what Obama done with Iran before he was even elected. Sent a private individual to Iran. Now, what happened with this lawyer? The information that she had was the Magnitsky law, which, if anyone understands that, it's because they seize any Russian assets perceived to be non-worthy persons or against human rights. Now, the Russians wanted this lifted. They wanted it, and another law coming out, are you going to use that name? The Russians wanted this to go away. So she came to meet Trump. Now, the Clintons, Bill Clinton, took $500,000 from a Russian bank when he addressed this, and at the same time when Hillary Clinton was Secretary of State, she was campaigning against the Magnitsky Act, a person who died in a Russian jail for exposing corruption. And she's campaigned against it many times. And her husband does speeches for it, and they collect the money for it. Now, this is the very same Russian lawyer. That's the dirt they had, which hasn't surfaced through the press, but it has surfaced through reliable sources. The Podesta email that was on released by WikiLeaks. And by the way, these emails that keep getting released by WikiLeaks, it's funny how the DNC accused the Russians of interfering with the election, yet they won't release the emails or the servers. So that's weird. And what Podesta's email said was, we've managed to squash the story by Bloomberg on the Magnitsky Act. So it's all to do. That's why the Russian lawyer was meeting with the Trump family to dish the dirt.
Right.
The same as the Ukrainians were meeting with Hillary to dish the dirt on Trump. That's how it works. But the negative press that Trump is receiving is undermining democracy. And to listen to you all this morning and sit there talking about what he said and what he didn't say and how he'd be riding up the mall and that, why don't you stick to some real serious stuff rather than tittle-tattle like that, because it's not doing anyone any good. The truth is just not getting out what's really happening in the world.
Peter?
So, on that, I'll leave you.
Thank you very much for calling. It's at Sinclair Media Group, who just bought Tribune. Or they say on their website, authentic stories passionately told. Tribune Media has dramatically increased its commitment to producing original content across its platform. Tribune Media engages top creative talent and journalists to produce compelling, authentic storytelling relevant to our television and web audiences.
Viewpoint on Talk Radio Europe with Giles Brown.
Into the last 10 minutes of today's Viewpoint Talk Radio Europe's current affairs programme with the invited panel of guests. We've got a caller on the line. We go live to the lines. Good morning, caller. You're live on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Oh, hi. It's John from Las Boliches.
Good morning, John.
Morning to you, matey. Just to say, I certainly stand that I agree with Peter on the last what he is saying, that the particularly with CNN, it's just gotten ridiculous. And I'm a big fan of CNN, but it's so ridiculous, the criticism. But more on the Trump thing. I mean, I took the Trump thing as a bit of a joke when he said that. We all know Trump and what he's like. I was more pissed off with the media, particularly the female media, on criticizing Macron's wife's dress. Her dressing, saying she was dressing far too young. I mean, that to me was the most sexist thing, and that came from the fashionistas, which is quite ridiculous. The Trump compliment was just Trump, and to me it was more amusing than an insult.
Thank you.
That's just me.
Thank you for that. Alistair, you're nodding your head as the fashionista amongst us.
Yeah, I mean, it was there was that photograph of Melania in her sensible, mature, stateswoman-like long dress in Paris, standing next to the Barbie doll dress from Madame Macron. I guess she was dressing quite young, if I'm honest, but she looked good.
It's the fashionable style, surely.
But then again, she's 64, 65, and he's 39. She has to sort of make an effort, doesn't she?
We've got a caller on the line. Good morning, caller. You're live on TRE. Before we go down on this slippery slope, where are you calling from? What's your name? What's your viewpoint, please?
Steve from Cordoba.
Yes, Steve.
A quick one. This is for Alf and for our American colleague on the station. I'd just like to know if they feel that Trump will be impeached before the end of his term. I'll listen to your views on air.
Thank you, Steve.
Okay.
Impeachment.
As an outsider first, because Nathan will have much more information, my view is no.
No, I don't think so at this point. I mean, there have been, you know, there's one congressman who has started a bill of impeachment that will go absolutely nowhere. Who knows what's going to happen in the next 6 months? It's going to get more and more interesting to see what the Republicans do, because they are beginning to panic, because many of them in Congress have to stand for re-election in 2018, and coming with August, when they go back to their home states and have to, you know, talk to the people who elected them and explain what they've done in the past year and why they should be elected again, or in the past 2 years, they don't have much to say, and they're going to panic, and how much they will blame that on Trump remains to be seen. But it's all going to be up to the Republicans. I mean, the Democrats would impeach him tomorrow if they could, just as a point of principle. But they don't have the ability to do that. He seems to be losing more and more Republican support and unable to pass any of his own agenda or the Republican agenda, which are not necessarily identical, but nothing is getting done. And the people in Congress who have to be reelected, who are hoping to be reelected, need a reason to go back and tell people why they should reelect them. So if more and more turn against Trump, it's possible, but I certainly don't think it's likely in the near future.
And where we are specifically, I was a bit. No, I don't think he'll be impeached, because it's just too difficult a process to go through. And as Nathan says, all these other things get in the way. The pressure will come from his own side. It's not because he isn't delivering anything. They aren't delivering. They've done nothing on the healthcare that they said they'd do. They haven't even put a footing in about the wall. Everybody keeps bringing up, where's the wall? You know, the least you could do is build the wall. Everything that he said would
would do hasn't happened. Banning people coming into the country, all of that stuff is all... So he hasn't delivered, but the reflection will be on the political party that put him there. And I think it's leading up to... It won't be impeachment, but this will be probably the first time in American history, if I'm right, where a sitting president won't be re-nominated to stand for a second term from his own party.
Well, see, again, you're looking at it from a British point of view where you're assuming that the party has much more power and control than it does in the United States. The Republican Party would never have nominated Donald Trump in the first place. Donald Trump got himself nominated, and he will get himself renominated, or he won't. The party, you know, pretty much sits there and waits to see who wins the primaries and who, you know, who is going to be their candidate, and then they are basically stuck with him, or think it's wonderful that we have so-and-so as a candidate, and the voting is still out on that.
Alistair.
It would be his own party people in the Senate, or wherever the process goes. You know, you ain't going to see 17 candidates standing. You know, you'll end up with one person that everybody else is going to support.
No, you're going to be back to very likely 17, because there are 17 people who think, well, I can do better than he did. And the party will, as they did this time, sit there and let the 17 or however many there are go through the process and whittle themselves down until the last person standing gets the nomination. And that's exactly what happened this time. And then the party says, okay, you're ours, and does what they can to support them, but he doesn't, it's obvious, does not have, you know, real support across the party and across Congress. And so he is not able to build the wall or repeal Obamacare, because the congressmen and women look at the situation and say, no, we can't do that. I mean, that's you know, we don't agree with that.
Alistair.
It appears from the polls that he has 50% support of the U.S. citizens, which is pretty much what the votes were. So to me, and that depends on which polls you look at. But to me, what it says is that if you voted for Trump, you still like him. And if you didn't vote for Trump, you still hate him. And certainly the media do. He's getting the roughest ride that any US president has ever had from the media. I think the jury's out as to what he's going to be able to deliver, and whether he'll be re-elected or re-nominated, I have no idea.
You, when it said 50%, Nathan, if we had the webcam at that point...
Yes, I was shaking my head. No, I mean, the polls are much lower than 50%. I mean, if you go approve or disapprove. Yes, he's got his base, there's no question, and he continues to play to his base. He has these big rallies as he travels around the country still, basically campaigning, and he gets large crowds, as he always has. But again, a crowd in the United States... You know, you go into a major metropolitan area and you draw 15, 20,000 people into an auditorium, a stadium, whatever. I mean, that's not that big a deal. But yes, he still has a very strong base that has not given up on him. But those are the same people who are waiting for their jobs to come back from overseas, and absolutely nothing has happened to do that. These are the people who worry about immigration and thought the wall was a good idea, and nothing's happening with that. And the problem is, for that base, at some point, it assumes they're going to say, yeah, but he promised all of this stuff, and here we are a year, 2 years, however many years down the line, and we don't have it. And are they still going to support him at that point? I mean, people are still saying, well, he needs time, he needs... And yes, anybody, any politician will say that, and they do need time, but... If you compare what he has accomplished of what he promised and what he wanted to do in the first, 7, 8 months, he is way behind what most presidents are at that point as far as doing anything, because they say it's not really the first 100 days, it's the first year. That's what you have your best chance to accomplish something major because Congress is not worried about getting reelected in that first year. But after that, they start, you know, thinking of their own concerns and their own problems, and it's much harder.
Alistair, do you want to come back on that point?
No.
Right, thank you very much. And Alf was going to do as well, but unfortunately...
I'm going back to my TARDIS to join the new female Doctor Who. Stupid decision.
Right then, okay, before we get to Doctor
and
Who...
never get old.
A programme in itself and never get old. Right then, thanks very much for all your calls in. Thanks to my panel, Alistair Lee.
Thank you.
Alf Brewer. And Nathan Thomas.
Thank you very much.
This programme will be repeated again at 6 o'clock. Stephen Ritson up next.
The views expressed on Viewpoint by invited studio guests and callers do not constitute an opinion endorsed in any way by Talk Radio Europe SL.
Viewpoint on Talk Radio Europe.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.